So we have gathered here in the memory of the dear father of our Ajay Singhal Prabhu, Sriman Ramesh Chandra Singhal, who passed away some days ago. The best way to remember someone and to benefit that person is to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, including chanting his names in that person's remembrance, as we invoke the remembrance of Sri Krishna and his pastimes and holy names and so on. The departed soul is also enormously benefited, as are all those who participate in the program of hearing and chanting about Krishna. So I believe that in the last several days you have been discussing the different cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam in summary form of each canto, and today I was requested to speak on the summary of the 10th canto. So I have prepared a small slideshow. May I request the slides to be displayed here on the Zoom also? Hare Krishna. Are the slides being displayed? What is that? No, no, I'm expecting you all to display it. Oh, Gopi. Even on Zoom or also on, only on Facebook or both also on Zoom? Okay. So, is it visible on both Facebook as well as Zoom?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so we are speaking about the summary of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, next please. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is the crest jewel among all the scriptures. It is called the highest form of evidence, Pramanam Amalam. Amala Purana also, and it is also the greatest Pramana. Pramana means evidence. So there are different branches of knowledge in different books which give us knowledge. But which is that knowledge which is the highest and the most reliable, the most blissful, and the one that does the greatest good to everybody? And that is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Amongst all sorts of books, the Vedic scriptures are the best. Among the wide variety of Vedic scriptures, the Bhakti scriptures are the best. Amongst the Bhakti scriptures, the Srimad Bhagavatam, sorry, the spelling mistake here, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the crest jewel. So because this is a topic in itself, I will only cite two verses to illustrate this, and then we'll move on. So can we have the next slide? So this, I'm going to cite two verses from the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Both are very important and well-known verses. Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi श्री भागवतम इष्यते तद रसामृत तृप्तस्य नान्यत्र स्याद् रतिः क्वचित् सर्व वेदांत. सो वेद इज ऑल नॉलेज. अंत मीन्स द एंड. वेदांत रिफर्स टू द कंक्लूजन ऑफ ऑल वेदिक नॉलेज. So the sar or the essence of the conclusion of all kinds of Vedic knowledge is the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is how it is declared here. Tad rasa amrita triptasya. One who has been satisfied, tripta, by the nectar amrita of the rasa of tad, of that scripture, na anyatra syad ratih kvachit, will not look at any other book for satisfaction or happiness. So we'll read the translation, next slide. Or okay, I've explained the meaning, so that's fine. Next please. The next verse is also from the 12th canto. Nimna ganam yatha ganga, devanam achyuto yatha, vaishnavanam yatha shambhu, puranaanam Puranaanam idam tatha. So Nimnagana refers to those, Nimnaga, that which goes downwards, referring to a river, because rivers usually start in the mountains and flow down into the plains and then go and join the sea eventually. So amongst all the rivers, Yatha Ganga, just as the Ganga is the greatest, Devanam Achyuto Yatha, just as amongst all the devas, Achyuta or Shri Krishna is the best. And just as Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, amongst all the Vaishnavas, Lord Shambhu or Lord Shiva is the greatest. Similarly, Tatha Puranaanam, amongst all the Puranas, Idam, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the best. So, although the topic of establishing Srimad Bhagavatam as the highest scripture, as I mentioned, is a topic in itself that needs a lecture or more than that exclusively, but because we are going to focus more on the 10th canto, I'm just giving a background here. So, now that we have seen that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the best book, the best scripture amongst all, let's now move on. Next, please. Now the Srimad Bhagavatam has 12 cantos, and interestingly the acharyas have compared, actually in the Padma Purana it is compared, that the different cantos are compared to the different limbs of the transcendental body of Sri Krishna. So the first two cantos represent the lotus feet of Krishna. Cantos 3 and 4 represent the thighs of Krishna. Canto 5 represents the navel of Krishna. Canto 6 represents the chest of Krishna. Cantos 7 and 8 represent the arms of Krishna. Canto 9 represents the throat of Krishna. Canto 10 represents the blissful, beautiful, shining face of Krishna. Canto 11 represents the forehead of Krishna. And Canto 12 represents the head of Krishna. So in this way we see the equivalence between the Srimad Bhagavatam book and the transcendental body of Krishna. Of course, we know from the Bhagavatam itself, from Srila Prabhupada's teachings, that there is no difference between Krishna and descriptions about Krishna or narrations of Krishna. So Krishna Katha is non-different from Krishna. So when that Krishna Katha is in sound form, when it is spoken, or when it is in written form, which is actually the same thing, both are considered transcendental and equal in every respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So when we are reading, hearing, studying, remembering the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are actually directly associating with Krishna, So the Srimad Bhagavatam therefore is considered also a form or an incarnation of Krishna, but in literary form. So Brahma Samhitam, there are many verses that describe this, but I'm just speaking a few words about this, how the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered directly transcendental and non-different from Krishna. And in the Padma Puran, in which this particular statement is given, or analogy is given, of the cantos with Krishna's form, we can understand that when we study the different cantos, it is as if we are meditating on those respective parts of Krishna's transcendental body, if we keep that in our consciousness. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam is entirely non-different from, it is identical to, the divine Satchidananda Vigraha, the transcendental body of Sri Krishna. So, generally, you know that when we go to the deities to have darshan, we generally start by looking at the lotus feet of the Lord, and then we gradually move upwards and come to the shining, bright, beautiful lotus face of Krishna, which is the most beautiful part of his transcendental body. So that is generally one recommended way in which we all take darshan, as Srila Prabhupada has explained. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada says that one should not directly go to the 10th canto, one should start from the 1st canto and gradually move upwards, and once one has finished the first 9 cantos, then one becomes spiritually eligible to understand the deep esoteric pastimes that Krishna displays in the 10th canto. So in other words, we see here that the 10th canto is special because in the transcendental body of Krishna, although every limb of his is transcendental and equal to every other limb, still there is something very special about Krishna's lotus face, Mukharavinda. Similarly, even though every word in the Srimad Bhagavatam is powerful and transcendental and equal to Krishna, still there is something very special about the 10th canto, which is equal to or equivalent to the face of Krishna. So we should move gradually from the 1st canto going up to the 10th canto. So we can understand that the contents of the 10th canto must be something very special. Every narration, every passage in the Srimad Bhagavatam is exalted, but we can understand that the narrations in the 10th canto are even more exalted. So let's try to look more into this. Can we have the next slide? So we have seen just now that the 12 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam represent the bodily limbs of Krishna, and I have explained how we take darshan of the deity of the Lord, and therefore similarly the study of the Srimad Bhagavatam should generally begin from the 1st canto and move progressively upwards. Next. Now, the Srimad Bhagavatam discusses 10 topics. Actually, all the Puranas should discuss at least 5 topics. But amongst all the Puranas, there are certain Puranas which are considered more important, which are called the Mahapuranas, the main Puranas. And of these main Puranas, one is considered the main Purana if it discusses 10 topics. So what are those 10 topics that is discussed in this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Again, a very important verse. And we'll see how this connects up to Canto 10, which is our subject for this evening. Sri Shuka Uvacha Atra Sargo Visargascha Sthanam Poshanamutayah Manmantareshanukatha Nirodho Muktirashrayah. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 10 divisions of statements regarding the following: the creation of the universe, sub-creation, the planetary systems, protection by the Lord, the creative impetus, the change of Manus, the science of God, returning home back to Godhead, liberation, and the summum bonum. So let's take a look at these 10 topics and see the Sanskrit words and what they mean. Next please, slide. So the first word is Sarga, Atra Sarga. Sarga refers to the universal creation by the Supreme Lord Mahavishnu. Visarga refers to the secondary creation by Lord Brahma within each universe. Sthanam refers to the positioning of the living entities in the various planetary systems according to their karma. And that happens creation after creation till such time as that living entity gets liberated from the cycle of birth and death. The fourth topic is Poshanam, nourishment or protection given by the Lord to his devotees. Uti means the creative impetus or the inclination to act in certain ways. Manvantara, the reign of the Manus. Manvantara means Manu Antara, the Antara or the time interval between two Manus. So it refers to the lifetime of the Manus. The next is Ishanu Katha, Isha Anu Katha. Ishanu Katha, Isha refers to the Lord. So here we have the topics of the Lord's various incarnations and his devotees. Nirodha refers to annihilation of the material world. Mukti refers to liberation. And Ashraya refers to the supreme shelter or Lord Krishna. So these are the 10 topics that appear in all the Mahapuranas, but specifically in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they are described in an extremely wonderful way. And hence the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the supreme in all the scriptures. And particularly the 10th topic, Ashraya. So we'll talk about that. Can we have the next slide, please? So how are these 10 topics discussed in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam? The answer is that all these topics are discussed throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, and yet each of these topics is more vividly described in specific cantos. And which topics are generally described in which canto, we'll see in the next slide. But so at this point, it is important to say that the 10th topic, the Ashraya Tattva, Ashraya means shelter. So that Tattva, that principle, that personality, that truth that affords shelter to all is the Ashraya Tattva, Krishna, and that is the most important topic. So the ultimate purpose of the first 9 topics is to help us understand the 10th topic, which is Ashraya Tattva. Can we have the next slide? So, cantos 1 and 2 are essentially the prelude to the rest of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Although they are very, very important, they give the very fundamental concepts of who is the Supreme Lord, what is the best process for attaining Him, and how the Absolute Truth is contained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and many such important topics. But as far as the 10 specific topics are concerned, in cantos 3 and 4, we find the topic of Sarga and Visarga. In the 5th canto, we find the topics of Visarga and Sthanam. So Visarga flows over from the 4th canto into the 5th canto. In the 6th canto, we have Poshanam. In the 7th canto, we have Uti. 8th canto, we have the descriptions of the Manmantaras. There is an extra A here after N. It shouldn't be there. It's a typo. It should be Manvantara, not Manavantara. So Manvantara. 9th is Ishanu Katha. The 10th is Ashraya, Ashraya Tattva. The 11th canto talks about Mukti, And the 12th canto talks about Nirodha. So in this way, the 10 topics, whilst being discussed in every canto, predominantly we find that these are the cantos which discuss these specific topics. Now please note that the 10th canto contains the topic of Ashraya. Next, please. So, Srila Prabhupada has titled the 10th canto as the Samam Bonam. Samam Bonam means the topmost, the best, that which has no comparison, all good in every respect. So, Srila Prabhupada has titled the 10th canto as a Samam Bonam because Krishna, the Supreme Ashraya, is a Samam Bonam among all the manifestations of various entities. Samam Bonam amongst all entities means he is the supreme. He is the Atme, the pinnacle, the greatest, the best in every respect. He is the highest goal, the greatest good, the ultimate source and shelter of everything, and the perfection of beauty, love, sweetness, and mercy. So Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Samam Bonam of everything. And therefore, we can understand that the 10th canto is considered the Samam Bonam because it discusses Krishna, the Samam Bonam, who is the Supreme Ashraya Tattva. And therefore, all the other 9 topics take shelter in the 10th topic. All other ashrayas, all other branches of knowledge, all of everything else takes refuge in Krishna. So, as we gradually build up our understanding and knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the universe, and so on, in the first 9 cantos, ultimately we find that the first 9 topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam now find their conclusion, their perfection, in the discussion on the Samam Bonam in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest or the best canto among all cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam. You see, in the spiritual world, there is a gradation even on the platform of perfection. Till we reach the point of perfection, we are, as the word indicates, imperfect. So we have defects. There are inebrieties. There are problems associated with anything that is not perfect. But when something is perfect, then we understand that it is sublime, it is transcendental. Only that which is truly transcendental can be perfect. So on the platform of perfection, there is perfect, more perfect, most perfect. Or complete, more complete, most complete. Purna, Purnatara, Purnatama. So similarly, all the cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, being non-different from Krishna, are also perfect and complete. But amongst them, the 10th canto, the Samam Bonam, is the most complete. Next slide, please. So now we'll come to the divisions of the 10th canto. Broadly speaking, we can divide the 10th canto into 3 parts. A little here and there, because some overlapping from one chapter to another chapter and some other topics discussed in between, etc. But this is a broad classification. In Vrindavan Leela, in chapters 1 to 40, we find a description of Vrindavan Leela. In the first 3 chapters, we find an introduction about the advent of Krishna, the prayers of the demigods, and Krishna born in Mathura, and then he's taken to Vrindavan. So even though technically Vrindavan Leela starts in the 3rd chapter at some point, but we're including it here in the first category. The Vrindavan Leela is considered the best among all the Leelas given in the 10th canto. Then chapters 41 to 51 we find Mathura Leela, when Krishna leaves Vrindavan and goes to Mathura in his manifest pastimes. Then from chapters 52 to 90 we have Dwarka Leela. So we can see that even though Dwarka Leela is the longest and therefore it has a very large number of chapters, but the Vrindavan Leela has an equal number, almost an equal number of chapters, even though Krishna lived there only for 10.5 years. Krishna's manifest pastimes in Vrindavan are about for 10.5 years roughly, but still we have almost 40 chapters devoted to that. And in Mathura, Krishna spent about 18 years. And then in Dwarka, the rest of his manifest pastimes till the age of 125. So amongst the Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka Leela, the Vrindavan Leela is considered the best. Let us keep in mind that in Dwarka Leela, we also include Leelas that Krishna did outside of Dwarka when he traveled, like when he went to Hastinapur or Kurukshetra and many other places. So this is a broad division of the pastimes in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Can we have the next slide? Now let's talk about Vrindavan Leela, which is the best amongst the pastimes of the 10th canto. So initially we have the prelude and birth in the first three chapters. Then we have the Balya Leela, childhood pastimes, in which Krishna predominantly enjoyed the Vatsalya Ras, as did his parents, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, and the elder Gopas and Gopis. Then after that, Krishna enjoyed his boyhood pastimes called Pauganda Leela, in which he predominantly enjoyed Sakhya Ras. So there is a typo here also. It is not Sakhayaras. The A after the H should not be there. So it's Sakhyaras, the rasa of fraternity, of friendship with his equals. And then later, Krishna enjoyed in Vrindavan the Kaishor Leela. Kaishor refers to the age of adolescence or pre-youth. And Kaishora Leelas are the best among the Balya, Pauganda, Kaishora. And here predominantly Krishna enjoyed the Madhurya Ras. Now let us keep in mind that when we in red ink here we have pointed out the different rasas, we do not mean to say that Krishna did not enjoy the other rasas in this period. But it is just that the rasa highlighted in red here indicates that this was the predominant rasa of that period. For example, in Kaishora Leela, the predominant rasa being Madhuri Rasa, where Krishna engaged in pastimes with the gopis, but Krishna was also Nanda Nandana and Yashoda Nandan. He still gave pleasure to his parents. They still doted on him. Similarly, in Pauganda Ras, in Pauganda Leela, Sakhya Ras is the predominant ras, but the Vatsalya Ras was going on, Dasya Ras was going on, yes, although the Madhurya Ras had not begun. So in the Vatsalya Ras, in the Balya Leela, the Dasya Ras was also there, but the Vatsalya Ras was predominant. So in the Vrindavan Leela, as described in the first roughly 40 chapters of the 10th canto, we have these divisions, these different pastimes, and amongst them, the Kaishor Leela are considered the best. Can we have the next slide? And in amongst the Kaishor Leela, the Ras Leela is considered the crest jewel. And that is specifically described from chapters 29 to 33, five chapters. And this amongst the community of Gaudiya Vaishnavas is famously called as Rasa Panchadhyaya. Ras referring to the Rasa Leela, Pancha meaning five, and Adhyaya meaning chapters. So Rasa Panchadhyaya. So the crest jewel of Kaishor Leela is Rasa Leela in these five chapters. And therefore we have many songs, like we have the Gopi Geet, and we also have other songs which are not in 29 to 33, for example the Venu Geet in chapter 21, and other songs also which are very, very sweet, very beautiful, referring to the Vrindavan Leela. Okay, can we go to the next slide? So now we'll summarize what we have discussed in today's lecture. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the best among all the scriptures. And the 10th canto is the best among the 12 cantos in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, as far as all the scriptures are concerned, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the best. Within the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto is best among the 12 cantos. In the 10th canto, the Vrindavan Leela is best among all the Leelas described therein. And in the Vrindavan Leelas, the Kaishora Leela is the best amongst all the Vrindavan Leelas. And the crest jewel among all the Kaishora Leelas is the Rasa Leela. So in this way, I have tried to summarize the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The 10th canto being the most important canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Naturally, there is a lot that we can speak about it. But since today we have a very short time period available, we're only giving a summary. Thank you. So we can take off the slides now. Okay. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions? You can.
From the center, if anyone wants to ask the question.
Sorry?
So, if you can, any past tense, Maharaj, from the 10th canto, that's good.
Okay. So I'll narrate the 10th canto in the Govardhan Leela in very brief, because that is also one of the most celebrated pastimes of Krishna. When the residents of Vrindavan wanted to organize an elaborate sacrificial ceremony for the pleasure of Indra, the Lord of Rain, Krishna intervened and requested them to stop and instead to offer whatever offerings they had to Govardhan, who was actually the nourisher of the cows of the residents of Vrindavan. And since the residents of Vrindavan, the Brajavasis, depended on the cows for their maintenance, their livelihood, so they were actually dependent on Govardhan. And as far as Indra and others, he said, Krishna explained that ultimately it is based on our karma that the demigods are obliged to give us the fruits of our reactions. So he induced the Vrajavasis, led by Nanda Maharaj, to perform a grand sacrificial ceremony and worship of Govardhan Hill, including offering many, many food items. And it was a wonderful celebration. And Govardhan, who was a form of Krishna, expanded himself, enlarged himself, and in a very, very wonderful way, he accepted all the offerings. He personally ate all the offerings. And he kept asking for more by saying, Aniyor, Aniyor, which means, I want more. And the Brajavasis kept supplying more and more till ultimately Krishna was satisfied. And then Krishna led all the Brajavasis to do a circumambulation or a parikrama of the Govardhan hill. And from that point began this tradition or the custom amongst devotees to circumambulate the Govardhan hill. So our great acharyas have done that many, many times. They would do it daily when they were there. And our scriptures glorify the parikrama of Govardhan. And all of us, when we go to Vrindavan, to Vrajabhumi, we also try, if possible, to do a Govardhan parikrama. And then Indra was enraged that the Brajavasis had, instead of making an offering to him, now made that offering to Govardhan. His ego was greatly hurt. So in his anger, he summoned the clouds that pour rain during the universal destruction. Very, very heavy rain. And when the rain started pouring down on Vrajabhumi, the residents, both the humans as well as the animals like the cows, were greatly aggrieved. And they cried out to Krishna for protection. And Krishna, who is Bhakta Vatsala, who is very affectionate to his devotees, immediately ran to Govardhan and effortlessly lifted the Govardhan hill with a little finger of his left hand and held it aloft, and then invited the Vrajavasis to come beneath the hill. And he assured them that there was no reason to fear or to think that the hill would fall down and crush all of them under it. So having complete faith in Krishna's protection and in Krishna's omnipotence, all the Brajavasis came under Govardhan hill. Continuously for 7 days and seven nights, Krishna held aloft the Govardhan hill on the little finger of his left hand. And in the process, he was smiling, he was enjoying the whole pastime. It was not at all difficult for Krishna to do that, because when an expansion of the expansion of Krishna can hold millions and millions of universes as if they were small seeds of mustard, what then to speak of one hill? But Krishna was playing the part of a seven-year-old boy, a cowherd boy, and therefore it seemed extremely charming and wonderful. This display of magical potency of Krishna has attracted devotees down the ages, and till today we remember Krishna lifting the Govardhan hill by naming him as Govardhan Dhari or Giridhari or Giridhar and so on. Even after 7 days of pouring rain, when there was no harm caused to the residents of Vrindavan, Indra came to his senses and he understood the grievous mistake he had made, and he came with Mother Surabhi in order to beg forgiveness from Krishna. And Krishna forgave him but cautioned him that he should not become arrogant and proud again. He should always remain in the position of his servant, of Krishna's servant. And then Surabhi and Indra anointed Krishna as the real Indra, and they gave him the name Govinda, the Lord of the cows and the Lord of the senses. And a grand Abhishek ceremony was held there, in which Surabhi and all the cows of the heavenly planets and the waters of the Ganga and so on were used to bathe Krishna. And then Indra left back suitably chastened, and Krishna continued on with his pastimes as if nothing had happened. Meanwhile, the residents of Vrindavan, having lived under the Govardhan for 7 days and seven nights, were in complete ecstasy for those 7 days and nights. They did not feel any hunger, thirst, fatigue, sleep, or boredom. They were completely absorbed in seeing and gazing at Krishna. And when the 7 days were over, then they began to analyze what had happened. And they were quite bewildered. And they started thinking, how could a seven-year-old boy lift up such a big mountain and hold it aloft for 7 days and seven nights? How is this even possible? Who is this little boy? So all of them had different answers, but still they became bewildered. They ultimately went to Nanda Maharaj, as they usually did when they were in some dilemma. And Nanda Maharaj smiled and told them that at the time of Krishna's birth, Garga Muni had predicted that this child would do extraordinarily wonderful acts when he grew up, even as a child. And that in previous yugas, he had appeared in different colors, and that he was non-different from Narayan. So in this way, the Brajavasis were somewhat satisfied and they went back. And that chapter in which the Brajavasis are bewildered in love and fascination, remembering Krishna's pastimes and glories, and when they approach Nanda Maharaj, is called Wonderful Krishna. So with this description of Wonderful Krishna, the narration of the Govardhan Leela ends. So the Govardhan Leela is one of the most pleasing, charming, popular, and also very instructive pastime of Krishna in Vrindavan. So Krishna was about 7 years old at that time. Shri Govardhan Leela ki jai. Shri Radha Giridhari ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Any questions, any more questions anyone has?
There is one other request. If there is any message that you want to give the devotees who are gathered here.
The message could be in keeping with today's topic. Please read Krishna book regularly. Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, which is the 10th canto in narrative form, in Srila Prabhupada's words. It contains not only the actual contents of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but also Srila Prabhupada's elaborations and comments at different stages. So it makes for very blissful reading. And I would recommend that everybody regularly study the Krishna book. Even if you have read it once, you can read it again and again. So this is one message that I can give.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, so Ajay, our heartfelt prayers to Shri Radha Giridhari, Shri Radha Gokulananda, for the welfare and well-being of your dear father who passed away some days ago. I am sure he will have a very good destination, being connected to you and your good wife Omisha, who are practicing devotional service so sincerely. And he will definitely get opportunity to continue his devotional practices in the next life, wherever Krishna will keep him under his shelter.
Thank you. Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you very much for your blessings. I will request all the devotees to loudly chant once Hare Krishna Mahamantra for Maharaj and once for the Vaikunth Gaman of my father.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I hope all of you are well, and my best wishes for your Krishna consciousness and well-being in every respect to all of you there in Bangalore. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.